This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Comes pressure. He doesn't see it. He is dropped. He is sacked. He is dropped back at the 44-yard line. Jerry Hughes got him. The snap to Rivers. Here comes pressure. Rivers doesn't see it. He is dropped. He is sacked. Back at the 5-yard line. Phillip Rivers goes down hard. Jerry Hughes. Hughes, Buffalo Hughes.
Jerry Hughes with those couple of sacks in the 2018 season. Jerry Hughes with a new contract extension announced yesterday. And Jerry Hughes joins us in studio right now. Congratulations, Jerry.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, going into your 10th year in the league and what, your 7th year with the Buffalo Bills then, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We were thinking a lot about this, the trade that brought you here for Kelvin Shepard. I think one of the great trades, really, in recent Bills history, and it certainly worked out for you, huh?
Oh, absolutely, man. I've been a part of a great organization here. The Pagulas have done a fantastic job with this team, turned the whole building around, and it's been just working well for me.
It's interesting because that when that trade happened so many years ago now, it really transformed your career. Talk about what that change of scenery meant and how you've evolved from the time you were in Indianapolis to what has happened to you in Buffalo. Can you kind of give us a quick career retrospect?
I think just for me being traded here, getting the opportunity to play on the field. You know, when I first got here, I had to become more of a third down specialist type guy in the Mike Pettine's defense, which was, you know, I told myself if I'm going to go out there, I'm going to try to make every play, you know, go out there, have fun, have no fear, and just let the chips fall. And I think that worked out well for me playing with those guys. And as the years have just grew on here, you know, it's just been really just sticking to that. You know, I told myself that I'm never going to hold anything back playing out there on the field, still go out there with that same mentality, that same mindset of just trying to make plays, be disruptive, and do what we can to just win football games.
Mm-hmm. You got Pettine's defense. Who's the guy at Philadelphia now? Was our defense?
Schwartz.
Schwartz defense. Yeah. You got Rex's defense and Robs and whoever else. And now you got Leslie Frazier. Which of those defensive schemes you think suits you the best? Which has suited you the best?
Coach Frazier, just the whole 4-3 scheme, actually being able to go back to that defense. We kind of had that very similar here with
Schwartz.
Coach Schwartz and everything like that. But I think with this scheme, I love putting my hand in the dirt and just coming off the edge and just being a defensive end in the trenches, not really worried about covering people, running down the field with Edelman or Gronk and things like that. Really just doing what I do best is getting after the quarterback.
And after you got here and you had a couple of really good years and the Bills re-signed, you had a chance to go and to leave, and you made the conscious decision, you know what, I may take a little less money, but I'm going to stay here in Buffalo. Is there any regrets about that?
Not at all. I mean, it was great building relationships with Kyle Williams, Mario, Marcel, those guys up front. We really had a strong chemistry. Working with Kyle has been great for my career. Just seeing another all-pro player, how he goes about the game, how so methodical he was through Monday through Friday, just understanding the whole game of football. I really wanted to just learn more from him, and I was happy that, you know, he hung around as long as he did because he made football a lot of fun.
Jerry Hughes with us, got his contract extension yesterday. When you were traded here to the Bills in 2013, right, what were you, 24, 25 years old?
Yeah, 24, yeah.
How have you matured? How have you changed since then, not just as a player but as a person and maybe your approach to the game?
I think more so just taking bits and pieces from what Kyle does, how he prepared himself mentally. He always took care of his body. And then once we signed Lorenzo Alexander, seeing, you know, a 15, 13-year-old vet running around as if he's 23 years old making plays. So still being able to learn from guys and not really hold my head too high just because, you know, I re-signed a contract. I always tell myself every day that I'm out here, there's always something that I can learn, and I'm learning things from everyone. So I think just being a part of that team and the team chemistry and the camaraderie that we have here has really been fun.
Steve and I were talking to Chris Brown, you know, from the website yesterday when the news came out about your extension and wondering, and you can answer this maybe definitively, because for a while you had a problem with, you know, kind of your temper getting away from you and getting some bad penalties. That seems to have lessened over the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just talking to Coach Frazier, Coach McDermott, and our team chaplain, Lynn, there, you know, just understanding what your worth is, what your value is. I mean, we are NFL players. We set the stage for a lot of kids, a lot of youth, my son included. He's probably the biggest Buffalo Bills fan at the age of 3 years old. And so, you know, you always want to go out there and set the great example. Don't let the game get too high. Don't let the game get too low from you where you're just working off of straight emotions. And I think I've really capitalized that, got a lot closer with my faith and just trying to understand, you know, it's better to go out there and be a smarter football player than to kind of just make things a lot harder on yourself.
Your defense was a top five defense in the league last year. And now you've got, you know, you've lost Kyle, as you said. That's a kind of a big loss, emotional loss for the team. You add Ed Oliver in, and a bunch of corners, but everything else is kind of intact. You get Milano back from injury. You know, it seems like this is a defense that really feels like, I don't want to say he stayed stagnant, but how do you feel like you're going to take a step forward this next year?
I think it'll be great for us just because, you know, we're in the same scheme. So this gives guys like Tremaine, you know, a young guy who's the captain of our defense, an opportunity to really learn from, you know, what he did wrong. Not only him, but everyone on that defense. It gives us an opportunity to kind of really iron out our wrinkles, figure out what we need to do to just keep improving, because we were top five, but we certainly want to be number one. So, I mean, with that being said, this has been a great offseason for us. Everyone being here, being around, building that team chemistry. Ed comes along, you know, he's a very similar player to Kyle Williams. Quick, fast, off the ball, is going to be disruptive, and I think that's going to be even better for our defense, is to have or to add that piece up front, you know, because it's going to work well in our room.
With Jerry Hughes, Bills defensive end, got a new contract yesterday. Everybody loves sacks. You led the team in sacks, 7 sacks last year. And what did I see? 42 sacks, 7th in Buffalo Bills team history. And yet you've almost become like the poster boy for the kind of a recent discussion of how sacks don't necessarily indicate effectiveness, pass rush. Pro Football Focus had you with 74 total pressures last year, 2nd in the league, and a pass rush grade of 90.4. So you've shown that pressure is what counts, really, right? Not sacks so much. Sacks are fun, but there's more than just sacks.
Absolutely. I mean, you put pressure on a quarterback, he makes a ill-advised throw, and the next thing you know, we're taking the ball to the house for that. But, I mean, certainly you want to just get in the way of those guys, cause that pressure where they're throwing the ball early, because these quarterbacks now, they're smart. They're not going to try to take the sack, so they're going to figure out ways to throw the ball early, get rid of it by all means. And, you know, it worked out well for us when we were playing the New York Jets last year.
Yeah.
And they threw the ball up. Matt Milano picked it off. We were trying to block for him because we always talk about scoring on defense, something that we wanted to really do. And so it's a lot of fun when that happens. I mean, yeah, you don't get the sack, but if I can do something to affect the throw and one of our guys can benefit for it, I'm all for it.
I read a stat that I was reading. It was about something else, quarterback play, but it was something along the lines of, the ball's coming out quicker now all over the NFL than it ever has, like 2-point-something seconds. It's the lowest amount of time, and this is league-wide, that quarterbacks have held the ball before they throw it. And you see that, right, every down, every passing down.
Absolutely. I mean, those guys do a fantastic job of preparing just like we do. So we understand it's no longer where you got to get back there in 3 seconds. It's now 2.5. And, you know, I mean, when you play quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Aaron or the Donald kid up there, with
Aaron
the Jets,
Donald,
you understand
Sam
that.
Donald,
you understand that. You know, you got to get back there fast. You got to, certainly, first of all, you got to beat a 6'5", 300-pound guy, and then you got to make sure you can solidify that tackle so you're not catching a penalty and things like that. So a lot of that has to play in the factor. And then on top of that, like I said, these quarterbacks are smart. Guys are making no-look passes and things of that nature now. So you certainly got to find ways to really just pick up your speed and get back there as fast as you can.
You know, 2 years ago, one of the things that drove this club to the playoffs was this defense's ability to churn out turnovers.
Yeah.
Now, they kind of dried up a little bit last year, and I've been talking to Murph, and it's been my thought that a lot of that, you know, you can almost put that back on your offenses. And, you know, this is an offense that really struggled to score last year, so the teams you were playing really never had to kind of go outside their comfort zone. A little bit had to be true, but what do you guys think about maybe getting back to the point where you can get 2 or 3 turnovers a game or average a, you know, plus one or a plus two turnover margin?
Yeah, with the free agents that we signed, Brandon Bean did a fantastic job of building a nice wall up there for our young QB, getting some big guys up front. We got even faster wide receivers that aren't going to do anything but just benefit Josh and his strong arm. So, you know, we're watching those guys practice, watching those guys work right now. We're excited just because once they start to build those leads and really force teams to become more one-dimensional, games are going to look a lot more like the Minnesota Vikings game, right, where when we do have that lead, we're able to play the kind of defense that we can play with our swagger, and we're focusing more so on getting the ball out rather than, you know, just trying to keep points off the board. You know, we really focus on getting the ball back to our offense just because we understand that wins games, but it also helps them out.
Jerry, another pass rush question, and I read this offseason, how some people think the defense in the league is changing to the extent that the pressure doesn't have to come from edge rushers like yourself. And I think about Ed Oliver as maybe kind of a prototype of a new way of getting pass rush pressure, right? A quick guy coming from the middle. You've seen him a couple of practices. And just talk about, maybe, is that a trend? Is that something we should look for?
Absolutely. Just because once you got that pressure coming up the middle, it forces the quarterbacks to either take a couple more steps back where they can't sit comfortably in their pocket, or they have to run somewhere. And when you got a quarterback running, it certainly shortens up the field. So now he can't, you know, throw across his body. Well, nowadays these kids can throw across their body. So, I mean, you really got to figure out ways where you can have at least seven or eight guys in coverage and just get back there with four guys, just because, like you said, ball's coming out quick.
Yeah,
that's really what it's about, is shortening the distance between you and the quarterback. Yeah. And from the inside over the center, it's just a shorter distance. If you win quick, plus it's also about – the quarterback seeing you. Mm-hmm. Now, we always heard about in the old days where the seven-step drop, the blind side, the quarterback's going to hold on to it. He'll see all these. If he doesn't see you, that's one thing. Yeah. But when the pressure comes quick and the quarterback sees you, that scares him off the throw as well, and that's just as effective as making him scramble the other way, to make him scramble fast because he sees you.
Absolutely, because now he can't watch his receivers. He's now focused on the rush. And when they're watching the rush, those guys are back there. They're lost. Now they're all off their route tree. Their timing is off. And so when you get that pressure up the middle, it certainly negates having wide receivers being open. He's now focused on not being tackled by a 200, 300-pound guy.
With Jerry Hughes, it surprised me when I saw the stat yesterday, and people don't think about this. You have never missed a start or a game since you've been with the Bills. 142 consecutive games. Wow. Six straight seasons, you played every game, and it even goes back to Indianapolis where you played a couple of years in a row. Every game. That means a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we have a fantastic training crew here that, you know, they do a great job every day just helping us with any kind of bumps and bruises that we have. But, you know, I learned from some great vets early on in my career, you know, to do whatever you can to take care of your body. I mean, they always told me our bodies is like a Ferrari, if you would, you know, a high-performance sports car, and you certainly take that car into the shop for anything. So if you're going to do that for the car, do it for yourself. And so I've really took that to heart, and really whatever I feel like, I speak with the trainers. We have a great relationship, and they do a fantastic job here with everything that they have, from all the new equipment. Yeah. I take full advantage of it.
Now you got the new facility.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, talk about how this has changed things a little bit.
Oh, man. Going forward. I mean, the Pagulas have blessed us with probably the state-of-the-art facility here, probably the best facility in the NFL. And, like, I tell people, it's like a spa. We have everything that you could possibly think of. We have ice tub, an ice chamber, hot tubs, saunas. I mean, everything that you can to keep yourself on the field, keep yourself moving fast and playing at a high pace, that's what they got for us. And you just take advantage of it, like myself, and you can just see the results.
Does that add years to your career, do you think, perhaps?
Maybe? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember coming from Indy. It was nothing like this. And so now that we have something like this and you're able to go in there, and like I said, we have a fantastic training staff who's willing to do anything for you, it certainly will add on years. And looking at guys like Lorenzo, who's 15 years in and he's still playing like he's 25. So it certainly kind of excites you.
Last question that I have for you, Jerry, and it deals with leadership. And Kyle is gone. Everybody's come to terms with that. You are 31 years old, I think you said, right? You'll be
31 in August.
31 in August. Do you assume some of that leadership? I mean, do you think it's up to me now? Kyle's gone. I watched him work, played with him. Do you assume some of that leadership?
Yeah, certainly, especially being in our room, because our room is very young, especially our defense is young, in fact. So certainly you want to go out there, embark wisdom on the guys. You know, especially what I learned from Kyle is how he works throughout the week, game planning, understanding not only Coach Frazier's game plan, but how other teams will attack us. And we talk about that now in our room. That's why I say it's great to have the attendance that we have now, so guys can understand football. You know, we've been doing so much of just running and lifting weights, but now becomes the time for us to talk football, talk game, understand how to attack people methodically, because it's not just about running around and hitting people. You certainly want to do it and know how you're getting attacked.
So how's the OTAs going with the team, the defense, and guys picking it up? I mean, does it feel good to come in, get the same terminology? Talk a little about the vibe.
Oh, it feels great. Just seeing everyone running around, flying around with our middle linebacker, Tremaine. I mean, he's talking, he's moving around, he's picking up things. He's really become the captain, the quarterback of our defense, and that's what you want to hear. That's what you want to see coming from a second-year guy. He spent a lot of his time up here, and you can see it. You can see how he's in his playbook. He's already understanding what Coach Frazier's telling him. It's not where he has to be repeated. He gets it first time. He takes it to the field, and when you see that happening, you know that we're going to have a fun year.
It's going to be fun. I'm really happy you're sticking around, too. Congratulations on the contract.
Great to hear.
Guys,
congratulations.
Thanks, I'm happy to be back.
Great. Jerry Hughes joining us. When we come back, Chris Sims, NBC Sports NFL analyst. Got a lot going on. He's here interviewing Josh Allen today. We'll talk with him about that. He will join us when we return. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. And again, our thanks and our congratulations to Jerry Hughes. I hate to sound like the old guy, Steve, but he's matured, man, and it's good to see. And I think he has a show on the field as well. Hey, we got a special guest in studio right with us right now. He's in town doing his own work for Chris Sims Unbuttoned, the podcast. He is an NBC Sports NFL analyst, co-host of PFT Live on NBC Sports Network, played quarterback in the league for 8 years. Happy to have Chris Sims with us. Chris, thanks for coming by.
No, thanks for having me. No, it's been great. I mean, this whole experience has been really cool. I haven't, oddly enough, I've never been to the stadium. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. Really?
My years of playing.
8 years in the league?
I know. 8 years in the league. For whatever reason, when we were about to come up here to Buffalo, I changed the team, and then I never got a chance to do it. So my first time here at the
facility.
Took
drastic steps to make sure you didn't play in Buffalo.
You're right. Yeah. But the facility's special. It was really cool to be around, and I love being around Josh Allen.
Did they give you the nickel tour of the new place?
Saw it all. Got to sit in the massage the chairs with Josh Allen doing an interview. That was hilarious because it beat me up a little bit. But yeah, this is a great facility. Yeah.
Tell me about what you're working on with Josh for Chris Sims Unbuttoned, the podcast.
Yeah, I do a podcast, been doing it for a number of years now. And, you know, hey, it's a little bit more maybe for the nuanced listener, the listener who wants to get into the weeds about football. And with Josh, I've been a huge fan of his from when he came out in college. I'm pretty sure I came out on the show at some point during the draft when he came out. I thought he was the best quarterback coming out in the draft in the 2018 draft. So I was a fan of his, and I like to give a little attention to guys who I don't think are getting the attention they deserve. You know, Josh Allen to me, and again, I don't know, I know I don't have every answer in the world, but I see a lot of special things about his game. I mean, we're talking about an arm that's in the same class as the Patrick Mahomes. You know, three games of almost rushing for 100 yards. I feel like if any other quarterback in football did that this year, every highlight show would have led with that talk. But because it's Josh Allen in Buffalo, it just wasn't sexy enough. So I kind of pride myself on maybe giving those type of guys a little more credit than the national media.
You know, we've noticed, and I think you'll agree with me on this, because of last year's draft and those quarterbacks in the first round. And
right.
Everybody had a favorite. All right, I get that.
Sure.
And those who did not have Josh as their favorite kind of overlooked what he did last year.
They can't let it go.
And how? Yeah, they can't let it go.
Right.
And how good we always say he almost got better week to week last year. Yeah. Got better every week.
Exactly right. I mean, towards the end of the year, I mean, Josh Allen was one of the can't-miss watches in all of football with the running and some of the big-time throws. I know it's not all polished and perfect, but you're exactly right. And, you know, me and I know Steve's probably the same way. As an evaluator and I watch players, if I'm wrong, admit you're wrong at some point. But you're right. There was this faction of people who were not on his bandwagon coming out of the draft, and they refused to really give him any credit last year when things went well. And that bothers me. I don't like that. And I try to kind of correct those stupid narratives sometimes.
Good. Well, there's so many platforms for people to get their voice out there.
Right.
And they, you know, and it does take on a little bit of a life of its own. But I think you're right. It does take a superhuman effort by a player like Jared Goff. He has to have a kind of a second season like Jared Goff did, and then maybe
some will jump on.
And even Jared Goff, people will blame Jeff Fisher.
Right.
Or
things. Other, yes, you know, yes.
How do you think, I mean, what kind of year would you think would do that for a guy like Jared? Would it have to be a team effort, or could it be an individual statistic effort?
I think it could be a little bit of a combination of both. I mean, I think if anybody starts to see the growth a little bit on maybe some of the accuracy and things like that, that we all agree that Josh could probably fix up a little bit and starts to put numbers out there that pop to people, I think people will start to take more notice. But, you know, ultimately it will be judged, I think, on the team and how competitive they are. And, hey, you know, you guys have had me on before. I'm a big fan of what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are doing here in Buffalo. I mean, I think in the conversation for winning the offseason as far as the draft and free agency. But yeah, I look at it that way to where I think the team's got to be relevant maybe in December. This is one thing I tell people all the time, too, with as far as Josh Allen's concerned last year in the draft. I just don't think the public realizes how high up the board Josh Allen was on everybody's draft board. You know, from my understanding, and I've said these things publicly, you know, Cleveland, if it wasn't Baker Mayfield, they were taking Josh Allen. Of course, everything I've heard here in Buffalo, Josh Allen was the number one quarterback on the board. Arizona Cardinals, Josh Allen was the number one quarterback on the board, was told that. The New York Giants, if they didn't take Saquon Barkley, was going to be Josh Allen. So I always kind of throw that out there to kind of, you know, stop the fire or the crap sometimes.
Yeah. On the topic of Josh and the accuracy, the Bill, and it's evident, obviously, but the Bills, Bean and McDermott will tell you that more than the accuracy, they're most concerned about his decision making. That's what they want to work on this year. As a former quarterback, do you see that with him? Like, he can make better decisions?
I do. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be like the home run.
Right.
I think that would be the thing. You know,
he does it all the time.
Yeah, right. Because he's so gifted that way. It's kind of the gift and the curse. When you can throw a ball 50 yards on a line and not really step into it, you go, oh, I can fit it in there.
Yeah.
And he's got to learn to kind of have a better gauge of when to take those chances, when to be aggressive. There's nothing wrong with the 5-yard completion sometimes and letting the guy run after the catch. But he's learning on the fly. He didn't have those type of guys that could help him at Wyoming. He's, you know, you get to the NFL, you forget, oh gosh, I throw the ball to LeSean McCoy and he's got 10 yards of space. That could become a 40-yard gain in a hurry. So, those are little things I look at that he could certainly brush up. And I would expect him to, one under the tutelage of Brian Daboll, who I think a lot of. And hey, you guys know, they got some receivers here this year, some other guys that can do some different things, and Beasley and Brown, who can do some of that New England jerk route, option routes that you see Tom Brady be so successful with.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things we thought, and you, as a former quarterback, you can speak to it, having really being one of the young quarterbacks. Now, Baker Mayfield, you can make the argument he's in the same offense, but Freddie Kitchens may not be the same coach.
Right.
Because he's going to be a head coach, and you know, he's got a lot more things
on.
So that dynamic may change.
Right.
And certainly it changed for Sam Darnold. Now he's got Adam Gase, and it's certainly changing for Josh Rosen. He changed teams.
Right.
Josh Allen may be, instability-wise, how important is it? What can that mean for a kid who comes in? Now he's taking number one reps.
Right.
He's got the same offense, same terminology,
same
coach, same quarterback room. How big a difference could that make for him?
That's the formula where you make leaps and bounds progress, right? Because, you know, again, now he get to get into the nuances of the offense with your second year. You know, last year he was a rookie. He's coming in, he's swimming, he's just trying to keep his head above water. Now this year they can get into more of, oh, it's 3rd and 7. Okay, we like this play. And Daboll can talk about, you know, the specific things in the play of why he's calling it. And also talk about if they played this defense, ooh, I'd love for you to get to this play and maybe change the protection or the route of a receiver. All those little things are huge in growth and development for a quarterback. Not only just having the reps, but being able to talk things out in the meeting room and really get a feel for what the play caller is thinking in certain situations. And I think with this offense, the New England offense, and some of the talent, and now having the, you know, the offensive line thinks it's gonna, looks like it's going to be mended here in Buffalo. I think Buffalo is one of those teams to watch out for this year. I think they're a playoff caliber team, and I really would be shocked if Josh Allen doesn't go out there and assert himself as one of the better quarterbacks in football.
With Chris Sims, NBC Sports NFL analyst, he's here in Buffalo with the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. Let's get your opinion on a couple of other teams and quarterbacks if we can.
Yeah.
You're down there in Connecticut where you live, and that's Giants country. And, boy, there was an awful lot of noise about the pick of Daniel Jones. In retrospect, now a month after the draft, it appears that the Giants were kind of going for, I don't know if a clone, but something similar to what they had in Eli.
Yeah, this is something I had been saying before the draft. To me, it looked like that was more about what the decision was based on, was that demeanor like Eli, getting coached by the same guy that Eli got coached by. There was a lot of parallels there. Hey, I'm not going to lie to you, Daniel Jones, he was not one of my top four quarterbacks in the draft. I really didn't think he was a first-round talent. We'll see. I hope the kid proves me wrong. I'm not rooting against him. I'm a Giants fan, of course, because of my dad, so I still root for them and want him to do well.
Sure.
But, you know, I think with anything, just like we were talking about with Josh Allen, you know, when you get drafted at number six, and I think the backlash that Daniel Jones has faced in the New York media is, you know, you want to see elite traits from a player, something elite that jumps out to you on the highlights. And with him, it's not that way. It's going to be a little bit more about the decision-making and playing the position the right way, where, you know, again, I'm sure people up here were probably going, oh, Josh Allen's not the greatest pick in the world, but I'm sure they saw a few highlights and went, ooh, that has a chance. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen a ball travels that fast, that far.
Yeah.
Or I've never seen a big guy run that way at the quarterback position. I think that's where the Giants fans are a little bit like, this doesn't look like special number six pick of the draft type material. And as you guys know, throughout the process, the first thing out of everybody's mouth when it became to Daniel Jones was never anything about his physical traits. It was always David Cutcliffe. He was in a pro-style offense. He knows how to manage that. And to me, that's almost a warning sign a little bit. That's not the kind of guy I look at to be a first-round franchise
right.
quarterback. But we'll see. I think, you know, he's got a chance to make something happen there.
First-rounders usually have measurables.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. That's right.
Well, talk about measurables. Yeah. Some of the stuff that's going on around the league, and we've had this big debate going on this offseason because we had some of the guys from Pro Football Focus on, and they say, what's better, coverage or edge pressure?
Ooh.
You know, which is more important in a defense and more consistent on great defenses?
Right.
Is it the coverage outside or is it the pressure? And the analytics guys tell you that it's all about the coverage, because the pressure, the guy can step away from the pressure and still make the throw.
Right.
He can still make some things happen. But if you've got great coverage, quarterback's always got a tough throw to make. What's your take?
I think if you asked me this question 10 years ago, I would have gone, oh, edge rushers for sure. I think I look at it now and I don't think that. I go, no, with the current state of the game, I think that, coverage is more important. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know who led the NFL in sacks last year? The Kansas City Chiefs. Their defense stunk. I mean, they stunk. You know, at some point, the pass rushers, you can get worn out. There's only so many times you can just go 100 miles per hour getting after the quarterback and doing that. Yes, you have ways to cheat protection. The quarterbacks, of course, have great mobility and can avoid some of that pressure and still make throws. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, when you look at a team like New England or some other teams that have been successful, you know, again, the Rams, you could talk about them too, and I know they had a little bit of both, but I think I'd rather have the corner and safety play right now than maybe the elite edge guys. You can manufacture pressure a little bit. You can't manufacture a corner that can or can't play man-to-man coverage, and I think that's probably why I would lean that way.
Chris Sims is with us. I didn't realize until I read your bio this morning you spent a year as a coaching assistant in New England.
I did. Yes,
what did you
I
do?
Did.
What'd you do up there?
I was like just the – I wanted to say a bad word, but I was just the do-it boy, okay? That's what I was the quality control on the offensive side of the ball, so I had to break down all the, you know, the opponents coming up and have that ready. I did a little, you know, in New England they make you do two jobs really basically. So I was quality control, and then I was in charge of making tapes for the players that were on the radar in the colleges in the Northeast.
Okay.
I would always have to update the tape. So if anybody wanted to go in and watch a player from, you know, Rutgers or Boston College, I would have the tape up to date with best plays from each game that kind of tell the story about the player. But it was a great experience.
What did you get out of it that maybe you had not known about pro football working with the Patriots that year?
That they haven't just lucked into success for the last 18 years. It is, you know, incredible diligence, crossing T's, dotting I's. Bill is a brilliant person. I say this to a lot of people, like, Bill is the greatest coach of all time. Bill is so smart, though. If you threw him on Wall Street, he'd be the Wolf of Wall Street, too. That's just the way I think of him, as a thinker and a brilliant man. But, yeah, New England is just – it's a constant grind. You're not going to get a lot of family life, and that's ultimately why I got out of it. But, you know, you just don't – it doesn't matter what day it is in New England. I think that's what impressed me. On March 10th, I felt like we worked just as hard as we did on October 10th.
Yeah.
It just didn't matter. I mean, to one of those things where coaches had to, like, raise their hands sometimes and go, like, hey, coach – tomorrow's Mother's Day, and we don't have to have the meeting tomorrow then. Okay, so it's all about football, and you could see why they're successful, because they got a lot of smart, good people there.
Yeah.
And you go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, you talk about Bill Belichick and how smart he is and whether he'd be successful. And one of the guys I was going to ask you about was, there's a lot of talk about Dabo Sweeney, the guy at Clemson who has built – his little empire, even in the midst of the Nick Saban era down there. Now he's starting to, and he seems to have a different way about it.
Agreed.
You think he can translate to the next level? Do you think he has that appetite to come up to the NFL?
I would hope he doesn't. First of all, he's got it rolling. Like, whoever thought anybody could overtake Nick Saban? So that would be my first thing. Like, just ride this wave out until it's over. I do think he could do it, though. I do. I haven't met Dabo Sweeney. The people I've been around, though, that do know him, I mean, it sounds like he's an unbelievable communicator. He can really relate to players and that way. But the other thing, too, is I've seen just the things that I can quantify a little bit, studying guys in the draft and watching Clemson year after year. They've just become a better, more detailed team every year since Dabo Sweeney's been there. And to me, that's the thing I look at and just go, okay, obviously he can recruit and he's got a good way about him, but man, his team plays tough. They can play sound football on defense, offensive side of the ball. They can get creative when they want to. They can kind of do whatever they want. And to me, that speaks a lot to him and his versatility and maybe his vision overall for the program.
Chris, you played under John Gruden with the Bucs.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of his latest iteration as a head coach with Oakland?
Yeah, I mean, he's made for the Raiders. I mean, yeah. I've even joked with him. I was like, you should wear a patch on the sidelines. That's how much of a Raider you are. You'd just be there with one eye. But I never doubted he wouldn't get back involved. I just knew he loved being the head coach and coaching ball and teaching offenses and doing all that. It was a rough first year, as we know. I think a lot of people have blamed John Gruden for things that I don't think necessarily were in his control. You know, from everything I know, they didn't have the money to pay Khalil Mack the guaranteed money. There's some cash issues with Oakland. That's why they're moving to Vegas. So people want
but cash.
Cash, but true cash. And I think those are some of the reasons you've seen guys like Amari Cooper out the door and Khalil Mack out the door, and they're rebuilding and retooling. But, man, John is a psycho in a good way. I mean that. He is going to be in there every day at 4:30 in the morning trying to find new ways to improve the football team, and I just would be shocked if they don't continue to improve.
Yeah, and I look back on his career when he was at Tampa Bay, and he came in, he won the Super Bowl year one, correct?
Year one, right.
He had trouble maintaining that, right? It seemed to deteriorate year by year by year by year.
We were kind of all over the place.
Right, so why won't that happen in Oakland?
That's the big question. I mean, and I hear you there because, my years in Tampa, I don't think we had a offense ever higher than 18th in the NFL. And we were kind of like in the playoffs, then missed the playoffs. Then we were back in the playoffs, and then we'd go 5-11, and then we were back in the playoffs. That was kind of our routine there. I think the biggest thing that I look at, I think that he has realized at this point of his career that it's not all about him. Okay? And I don't mean this to be in a bad way, but John used to have a way of where he'd go, I'm not changing what I do. You know, you guys got to figure out my offense and keep up with me. And I think he's realized that if you want to be successful, whether you follow a team like New England or really, really most good coaches, you have to evaluate your team first and then orchestrate your plan of attack around what's realistic to ask certain players, right? You know, and I think that's where I think he's probably learned the most in his time away from football and expect it to be better this time around.
Chris, the last thing I have for you, you referred to this year's Bills as playoff caliber a couple of minutes ago.
Right.
Did you just see that on the wall, or do you really believe that?
Because no.
It's on the wall. No, around the corner here.
Yeah, on the
other
side.
Room.
Oh, no, I really believe it. I really do. You know, I just look at some of the additions on the offensive line. You know, Mitch Morris, Ty Nasecki, getting Cody Ford in the second round. Are you freaking kidding me? I thought he was the best tackle in the draft. And then, yeah, some of the young guys that are on the roster and some of the moves made in free agency and that. I do. I look at this Buffalo Bills team and go, okay, this defense was already one of the three best defenses in football. They've added a few players like Ed Oliver. Okay, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But then I just think that the offense is set up to really skyrocket. You know, we talked about it with Allen being the second year in the system, the improvements to the O-line, and actually having some talent around him at wide receiver with guys like Robert Thomas, who I know are going to continue to improve and all that as well. I just think Buffalo and the coaching staff, there's really nothing about the organization I don't believe in right now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, the piece with Josh Allen, Chris Sims' Unbuttoned podcast, when will that be available?
It will be on, you know, any platform you can get podcasts, NBC Sports/YouTube.com/NBC Sports. You'd be able to see it on there. I don't know if we're going to make it available by tomorrow. I'm looking at the people who I work with.
No.
I think it's
going to
be next week at some point. You'll
see
it. Who
do you think you are, Bill
Belichick?
They're
like, you don't have to cut up all this stuff and put it together. So sometime here in the next week, but we'll probably put a little warning out on social media to say that it's about to come out.
All right. It's great seeing you, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Sims, NBC Sports NFL analyst. Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. Look for that in the next couple of days, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chris.
Any day.
Yeah. Steve and I back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Huh? What? Hello. Steve asked me a question, folks. I'm sorry. Welcome back to the show. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy. There's an interesting tweet up there, Steve, that I just came across.
Uh-oh.
By the way, thanks to Jerry Hughes and for Chris Sims. Mark Poloncarz, Erie County Executive. Did anybody see this tweet in the other room? He's got a tweet with pictures of the Bills OTAs today. And I wish Jerry would have told us. They were at Chestnut Ridge Park. Did you know that?
The Bills were?
Yeah, look at the pictures. The Bills, according to the county executive, what are you laughing at?
I don't have your – where are you at?
Mark Poloncarz on Twitter. Everyone loves Chestnut Ridge Park. This morning, our stadium tenant, the Bills, held a team-building OTA on the sled hill. If you thought walking back up the hill with a sled was tough, you should have seen them running up it with weights. They took their act out to Chestnut Ridge. That's cool.
Looks
like the whole group. I wish we'd have known that. Maybe we'll get those pictures.
What are we
going to
do? We're not going. I'm not running up that hill.
No, but I mean, they got off site. They took the whole operation to Chestnut Ridge. It's pretty cool.
There you go.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. As I said, thanks to Chris Sims and to Jerry Hughes. I tried to make this point, too, before we get into Chris Sims. Jerry Hughes is just, I don't want this to sound condescending, but he's just kind of a different guy than he was when he got here 7 years ago, right? A couple of kids, a different approach. Brownie kind of hinted at it yesterday, and you can see it. The way he talks about this team, the way he talks about what he learned from Kyle Williams, you can see it, that he's a different man than he was. And, of course, you are, right? Weren't you different when you were 31 and 30 years old as opposed to 24?
Yeah, you start having kids. And
you start thinking about things differently.
You get different. Yeah, he's turned into a different guy.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, a couple of things. And let's get back into our Twitter question today. We want one burning question about the Bills' 2019 season, something that just absolutely has to be answered before the season begins. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One burning question ahead of the season. A couple from the tweet sheet from Adam. It's an interesting question. Burning, yes, I would say so. Adam tweets in, are there enough carries to go around for Shady, Gore, and Singletary? That's an important question. I don't have the answer to that. I am eager to see how that gets sorted out. I don't know at this point. I have a feeling that Shady will be the featured back, and I have a feeling there will be roles carved out for Frank Gore and for Devin Singletary, but I don't know what that will look like, Steve, and I look forward to seeing that.
I was telling you this. When he went to Miami last year, I'm talking about Frank Gore, when he went to Miami last year and played for the Dolphins, he was going to come in and be kind of an add-on, kind of a good guy in the room. He turned into the lead dog in that backfield really quickly. Frank Gore's a singular talent. The guy's 36 years old and still has a lot of teams interested in his service as a running back. He is a different kind of guy. when you talk to him, when you run into him, when you have conversations with him, you can tell how serious he is. He's not one of these yucking it up guys in the locker room. He's a serious guy. He's very professional. He approaches his craft that way. And he also carries a little bit of a, and I would say, self-inflicted chip on his shoulder. And it has driven him through a Hall of Fame career. I would expect him to overachieve this year from what a lot of Bills, I think, probably a lot of Bills fans think he's capable of. Don't be surprised if you are surprised by how well Frank Gore plays and how his role expands through the early part of this season, if not the entire season itself. He's going to make himself valuable to this team, I think. That's my early May 22nd call.
I don't know if I'm ready to sign on board with that. I do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.